You're listening to Those Two IM Guys podcast. You'll find interviews, reviews, and interesting topics discussed inside with your hosts, Tony Earp and James Kennedy. So, what are you waiting for? Get inside!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Those Two IM Guys. I'm James Kennedy and I'm here with my co-host, Tony Earp. Say hi, Tony.
Yeah, hi guys. Thanks to our viewers and listeners for joining us today. We do appreciate you taking the time to do that. How are you today, James? You okay?
I'm fantastic, other than a severe bout of man flu. You know, I've had the Lemsip, I've got the water, I'm good to go.
Yeah, as all our lady listeners can probably relate to in their relationships, you know, where men are concerned, we love our man flu at this time of the year, don't we?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a different strain that women get. You know, ours is a thousand times worse.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's totally incapacitating, James. And I'm sure every man viewing or listening to us today
can relate. And women with us, are raising their brow everywhere around the world thinking, oh, no, another sympathetic, whingy man moaning about the tiniest little thing again.
Well, I'm sure my wife would agree with that, but I'm abstaining from commenting any further. Yeah.
So, today, Tony, we're going to be talking. It's going to be no interviews today. We're going to be having one of our chats, and it's going to be quite good because it's about a subject that we both are very passionate about, and it's product creation. Product creation is a really interesting subject for me because I love products. I love the fact that you can come up with an idea, and especially in this digital age where you can actually create something from the comfort of your own home and monetize it. Tony, let's chat more about it.
Yeah, product creation. It's one of those subjects, James, that a lot of people find daunting because they don't know where to start. Did you hear me okay there?
Yes, I did. Yeah, they don't know where to start. Yeah, I heard you there.
No, sorry. I think you paused a little bit. That's why I was asking that question. Yeah, as I say, a lot of people find it a daunting subject, don't they? Because they just don't know where to start. You know, where the hell do I start how do I start creating a digital product, yeah? I mean, a lot of what we're going to go through here, guys, is relevant to physical products as well. And we're never going to fully cover the entire product creation process in a 45-minute to a one-hour show. But what we are going to do today is go through, you know, all the key things you need to be doing if you decide that product creation is for you, yeah? So, James, I would say the first step, and probably the obvious one, is to choose the right digital product.
Yes. Well, if we're talking digital products, yes, you kind of want to make sure that it's going to be something that is going to, first of all, there's a market for it, you know, and I think this is something where a lot of people come into kind of product creation and they try to create a new market. And one of the kind of my favorite sayings are the pioneers, they're the guys with all the arrows in their back. You know, it's so true.
Yeah. I mean, there's always space in the market for more than one product that does the same thing. If you take the autoresponders as an example, you know, you've not just got Aweber, you've got GetResponse, you've got Sendlane, you've got probably a dozen or more top autoresponder companies out there that, you know, ultimately they all do the same thing, these products, James, but some of those companies have added different functionality into their products, or the pricing may be slightly different to encourage customers to go with them rather than one of their competitors. Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of people don't think about. If there is a huge brand leader and their price is $30 a month, let's say, just for making life simple, you know, not everybody can afford to kind of go into their pocket and pull out $30 a month. So there's a marketplace for a lower price product, but also there's a marketplace for a higher price product as well, where there's a more bespoke support system where they will do a lot of the work for you. You've just got to find out where you are in the marketplace, what kind of development you can do, and then obviously price it accordingly to the audience that you're hoping to attract.
Yeah, totally. And you'll find that with any product or service, James, really, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll have a low price point, a medium price point, and a high price point, so that that there's a product or service, you know, in that market for every customer with every type of budget, yeah?
Yeah. Where we shop.
Just so we make this clear for our viewers and listeners, you don't have to come up with a brand new next best thing product creation idea, guys. Yeah. It can be something that's already out there that you can improve on. Or not only can you improve on it, but you can offer it at a cheaper price point. Yeah. Absolutely. And we could go on all day, James, about, you know, examples of that and how that's happened in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think what we've established is, you know, you need to validate your digital product idea. And you do that by doing thorough customer research, James, yeah?
Yeah, market research is key.
Totally. I mean,
what we had idea and thought, that's great, that's brilliant. And then like, oh man, somebody's just done exactly what I was going to do. Waste of time.
I mean, what's the good and what's the point in spending all your time creating something that nobody wants to buy? It's just a pointless exercise, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why you've got to, pardon me, I've got really croaky voice today, guys, so I do apologize. So I mean, that's why you've got to create something that solves a problem for your audience at the end of the day. Yeah. So we've gone through this process recently, James, haven't we, with the product we're creating. You've got to brainstorm ideas.
Yeah, and we do often, and sometimes again, which is quite interesting, we don't always agree, but from not agreeing, sometimes you get to a better point than where we originally started, you know, because it's like, right, okay, I see where you're coming from. Oh, no, I don't really get that. And now I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, and it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and we can speak from personal experience. You know, we agree on a lot of stuff and we disagree on a lot of stuff as well. Yeah, and somewhere with some things, we find a happy medium, don't we?
Yeah, we meet in the middle. And again, usually because some things, like if you've looked at something and maybe I've seen a kind of a flaw, or I've come up with an idea and you've seen a flaw, then we can then, right, okay, that makes a lot more sense. And yeah, it's great to have a partner in these kind of projects.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And when you're brainstorming, you know, product creation ideas, you need to find your audience and solve the problem they have, basically. Because if you're not solving a problem, then the chances are no one's going to buy your product, James, because they don't need it, do they? No.
Not unless you tell them it's super shiny and new. Never done before.
Well, the thing I would say is solve your own problems. Think about what you struggle with.
It's one of the best things I've ever heard, actually. I've heard that mentioned in the past. But when you're having problems in your life with various different challenges, you know, I mean, if you think of the little kind of plastic ends on your shoelaces, you know, I mean, how much of a nightmare is it to put that?
Yeah,
that guy must be a billionaire, or that lady, or whoever created
it's
that.
It's a little, product creation ideas like that.
Tetra Pak.
It's the people that have done their research that have realised that that's an actual problem.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you've got to test ideas. You do samples, offer freebies to those samples, get some feedback, because creating a digital product really is relatively easy once you've got the idea.
Yeah. And what another thing that a lot of people kind of, I find that when people are quite kind of cagey about giving stuff away for free, like, oh, don't get beta testers because they're people that could have bought it. But see, when I sell a bottle of water, there's a cost. Oh, that invisible bottle of water. Gosh. But it, like, let's say this piece of plastic, this little kind of iPad holder.
Yeah.
There's an intrinsic cost to that. That costs money, right? So if I give that to you, that's cost me something. But all the research, all the work, all the mark, all the place that I've put everything into a digital area doesn't cost me to give somebody access to that. You know, there's no cost to that because I can sell a million of them, you know? And that's something that a lot of people should really get into their head. There is no cost.
Yeah, and the benefit of creating a digital product, of course, is that compared to other types of product creation, it's very low startup costs.
It is, and I have got
you can literally create a good digital product for hundreds of dollars. You know, obviously you can spend a lot more money depending on what type of product it is, but you can get into the market for a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
Compared to other types of products that you're spending tens, even hundreds of thousands of dollars on, yeah?
And even, Tony, realistically, I mean, if your product is an educational course, for example, you wouldn't even have hundreds of dollars. You know, I mean, literally, you could, if you had hosting and you had the skills to create the branding yourself and things like that, you could do it for
free. Well, I mean, some of our viewers and listeners, they may have watched or listened to our the episode we did on PLR, James.
Wow, perfect, perfect one.
Yeah. I mean, if you've not watched that, guys, or listened to it, go and find that episode on our YouTube channel and watch and listen to, Yeah,
be aware, it's a monster. It's an absolute.
Yeah, but what the reason I mentioned that, James, is what good quality PLR can do. It can give you a good foundation to start the product creation process. Yeah, so you don't have to start from scratch. You've already got a foundation there to build on. Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, I think what we're trying to establish here and make it clear is that the hard part is finding your audience and communicating why you, why your products in particular is ideal to solve a pain point, because that's what we're looking for, James, isn't it? We're looking for the pain points.
Absolutely.
To, you know, to build that product around, goes back to what we were saying about solving a problem,
Is that AIDA? AIDA's a good kind of concept, isn't it?
Yeah, you're talking about the copywriting perspective, mate, aren't you? I mean, ideally, what you want to see is plenty of competition in the market. Great way to do that is to search for the main keywords for your product idea on Google or Facebook in the ads. Because it, I guarantee you, if people are spending money on ads for that type of product, there's a market for it.
It's definitely selling.
No one's going to, again, you know, Facebook, I'm not sure about Google, but I know Facebook, they have a, an ads marketplace where you can see all your competitors' ad campaigns, how long they've been running them for, and all that key data.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that one.
Yeah, you can. You can. It, that's freely available to anybody. I think if you just search something like Facebook Ads Marketplace, you'll be able to get all that key data from there, James.
I will take a note of that myself personally.
Yeah, and really interesting. I think it's fair to say that if you're finding competitors with a similar type of product, doesn't have to be an exact product, but a similar type of product that have been running ads on Facebook for months, if not years, I think it's safe to say that there's a market for that product and they're getting a return on their investment,
Without a doubt. Well, I've taken a note of that one personally. So, guys, it's these little kind of golden nuggets that even I can extract out of Tony during the conversation. So take notes of these things, because this is really, that's doing a lot of the research for you. You know, that's really going to take a lot of
Of the work with product creation, James, is done before you even start creating the product.
Yeah.
It's at least 50% of the work. It could even be more than that. I'm just giving you a guesstimate. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
at least half the work is doing all this research before you even start building the product.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, I've been speaking to a lot of kind of big affiliate marketers. And again, they put more value into the sales copy for the product, actually more than the product itself. And that sometimes absolutely astounds me. The fact that obviously the priority is not even the quality of the product, which I don't overly agree with, but allegedly it's...
I think those types of products and those type of vendors, they're only looking very short term, James. They're not looking at that product as being a long-term product, are they?
No, they're not.
It's a bit of a churn and burn process. Yeah. And let's not kid ourselves. The sales copy for any product is super important.
Absolutely.
But if you want a product that you can sell long-term, so it's an evergreen product, and you can make money on for years and years and years to come and improve the product over that time, you need to be making sure, and I've said this to you before, James, privately, you know, quality in the product is key. It all starts with a quality product.
Yes, I agree with you. As I say, it's quite kind of frightening, the fact that we have spoke about it, some incredible products have came to market, and because of their sales copy and their pages are not excellent.
But let's be realistic about what happens in that situation, James. Yeah. The product may be rubbish. The sales copy, the video sales letter and everything else might be great, and they sell that customer initially. But once the customer gets the opportunity to check the product out, what's going to happen?
Refund.
They're going to refund.
Yeah.
So for me, that is an absolute pointless process.
I think so. I agree. But I'm just kind of showing you a different...
No, but I totally agree with you that there is, and I would say the vast majority of product launches, the vendors are not looking beyond that launch for that product.
Yeah.
Where,
of course, when we look at a product, we look
at... our mindset is different. Our mindset is that the launch is the beginning of the product, not the end of the product.
Without a doubt.
And really, for the benefit of our viewers and listeners, I would say whatever you are thinking of buying, guys, to use on a personal level or in your business or your client's business, make sure you do your due diligence. And if the product isn't as stated, refund it. Otherwise, you're just encouraging these vendors to continue doing what they're doing. And this is your hard-earned cash at the end of the day we're talking about.
Without a doubt. Again, I mean, one of the things I would say from my point of view and how I used to be as a buyer of products like this, I would buy products and because it was sounding great and it sounded amazing and I was going to do it, but I never really had the time to actually get into it. So I would leave it there and never actually open the product because I was going to get back to it when I had time, and I never had time. So the refund process never ever applied to me because I never actually opened it to do the job, you know. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't do either, so make sure that you get in and check things out.
I mean, what I'm going to tell you right now won't come as a surprise to you then, because I've sold products, quality products I may add, and I've had customers, and I can tell by the stats in the members areas, I've had customers that have never even logged in to the purchase.
Crazy, isn't
it? It is. I mean, I just don't understand that. That's just somebody buying something for buying's sake.
And it does happen, and does happen.
Yeah, let me make this clear to everybody. Let me make this clear to everybody. And this is just a bit of free advice from somebody like James that's bought a lot of stuff over the years that he's never should have bought. Okay?
Yeah, I agree.
But you get older and wiser, James, don't you? With experience, especially. If you're not buying something to educate yourself, to make a task simpler, or buying it because it's going to earn you money by offering as a service to a customer, then you've got to ask the question, why are you buying it?
Yeah, because, I mean, we've all got hooked on this kind of hypnotic copy. Oh, this is great. I could do this. I could do that. I could do this and make money being this guy that does this thing that I've never done before, guys, and I could be the new guy. And reality is, I'm not that guy, but I bought it.
It says push button, free traffic, or anything along those lines, don't buy it, in my opinion.
Where's that barge pole I was looking for? I can't find that barge pole.
Just getting back to product creation, because we went off on a tangent there, didn't we? What we're saying basically, guys, is do comprehensive research. And another top tip would be use something like Google Trends, James. Have you ever used Google Trends yourself?
No, it's something that you told me about, but I have not had any need for it yet.
Yeah, it's a really great free resource from Google. And what that allows you to do is put in the keywords and phrases around your product idea. It doesn't have to be exact. You can put a broad range of keywords and phrases around your product idea, and it'll tell you what the search volume's been like for that type of product over the last year, 5 years, last month, or last week. So it gives you a good indication if people are searching for that type of product. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
So, if you've not used it yourself, James,
we spoke about it.
Yeah, if you've not used it yourself, honestly, go and check it out. It's a really amazing, valuable resource that Google offer you.
Yeah, I just took a note of that again, in case it escapes me once again.
And another thing I would say is, just bear with me a second. Another thing for product ideas, James, that you could do is you could build a product around your expertise.
Yes.
Now, a great example of that is a really great vendor we had on our show last week, Steve Miller. His current products and his next products are
both about his two passions in life, which is video and photography.
Yeah.
So he's taken his knowledge of what effectively is his hobby, and he's turned both of those passions into a digital product. How amazing is that?
It is amazing, because not just as an amazing idea, because I have actually created products like that myself, but that product in particular is actually exceptional.
And yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And again, guys.
And I think the reason why it's so exceptional is because he's been doing video editing, he's been doing live streaming, he's been doing photography for decades. So he's now put all that knowledge and expertise into a really great, if I do say so myself, a really great structured course that's very easy even for a beginner to understand.
Yeah.
So don't dismiss that, guys. If you've got a particular skill or a particular passion, you know, a hobby or whatever, don't dismiss that as being a product idea, because it could be.
And that's what I was going to say there. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, no, not me. I'm not an expert. There's people way better at this than me. And, you know, this is the self-defeatist kind of, like, not giving true value to what you have, you know, because I felt like, you know, I've created a couple of magic training courses online, et cetera, et cetera. And I think, oh, but these guys are, there's guys that are 1,000 times better than me. But there's guys that are 1,000 times better than me that were never able to make a full-time income doing what I'd done.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just need to take a step back and say, wait a minute, is there people out there that would like to know what I can do? Is there people out there that would like to make money doing what I do? And the truth is, yeah, of course there is. And that's when you can see that there is a product. You don't need to be the best in any industry.
No.
You just need to know more than the person before you. Because
absolutely,
even if you're a month ahead of them, you can be learning a month in advance and then teaching what you learn.
I'll give you an example of that, James. And again, I've discussed this privately with you last week, I think it was. I've been interested in NFTs, non-fungible tokens.
Yes.
And I knew absolutely nothing about NFTs, but I've got a friend that's an artist. And we decided to sort of join up. And he puts his artistic skills into play and I put my marketing skills into play. And we do a joint venture on NFTs. But as I say, I knew nothing about NFTs. So I spent some money on a highly rated course on Udemy on NFTs. I watched the entire course over a full weekend, because that's the sort of person I am. I'd rather absorb into it straight away and take on board all the content in one go, or, you know, or over a day or a couple of days, as I did. But what that's given me now is that I now know 100% more than somebody else that knows nothing about NFTs.
Absolutely.
So that's a perfect example of what you were just saying, really.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, you know, I mean, if there's something that you're passionate about, you don't need to, not everybody wants to make money with a course as well. That's something to think about. You know, you might be a lady who does flower arranging, or a gentleman who does flower arranging for that matter. Yeah. I'm just throwing something into there, and you don't make any money from it. But there's somebody out there that wants to learn how to do flower arranging just like your arrangements.
Yeah, absolutely.
So whatever your skill is, whether it's knitting, whether it's baking, whether it's confectionery, whether it's IT, whether it's internet security, whatever, you know, learning how to do all these little things, people don't know all this, and they will pay you. Knowledge is power, and knowledge is the finest currency you can ever make use of.
I remember years ago, I'm going back several years, maybe longer. There was a young entrepreneur that did a course on ClickBank around building chicken coops. And he made he made hundreds of thousands of dollars on that product.
Absolutely.
So that just shows you the possibilities, guys. One thing I will say, whatever digital product you decide to develop, whether it be an ebook, a software, a WordPress product, you know, a theme, a plugin, a training course or whatever, one of the things you need to make sure we do, and this goes back to our branding episode, James.
Yep.
Is you need to make your product visually appealing. If it's a design product, that's not a problem. because you can showcase your designs, of course. As we know about this, because we've been doing this the last few days, James, haven't we?
Yeah.
But for a software product, you know, and again, we're talking about copy and sales pages and everything else that's all related to this. You need to make sure that your product is as visually appealing as possible, you know, on the box shots and everything else, yeah?
Yeah.
Because people are buying that, James.
Yeah.
They're buying that before they actually get access to the software or something, aren't they?
Yeah, and a lot of people kind of don't think that box art is important, but see, when you're trying to sell digital zeros and ones, because that's what you're selling. You're selling nothing. You're selling digital fairy dust, because they don't actually have something that they can take off their computer and put it on their shelf. It's not like buying a book. You know, it's access to a platform. You need to make it feel real, and you need to make it feel valuable. So creating these boxes and all these DVDs and things like that then gives people the more of an understanding of the magnitude of what they're getting inside the platform, you know. And
Sorry, as you said, we're dealing with non-tangible products, aren't we?
Yes.
We can't touch them, we can't feel them. No. You know, like if you go and buy a car, you can sit in the car, you can smell the leather, you can touch the paintwork, you can try all the gadgets out. You can't do that with a digital product. I mean, okay, you can sort of, with a lot of softwares, you can try the demos out and that sort of thing. But when you come to buying, we're talking about buying the product, landing on the sales page, you need to have spent as much time on the quality of your graphics as you do on actually developing the product.
Yeah.
It's equally as important, yeah.
Yeah, because people need to see what they're getting for their money, and, you know, and good explanations. I love when I go to a sales page and they show you like CD one or video one, and you see a DVD box with a disc. Although nobody uses DVD players anymore, but you still get the feel for it's a video. It's
James, let's be honest here, all right? If you or I land on a sales page for any digital product and the graphics are shoddy, what do we instantly think with the knowledge we've got?
The product shoddy.
Yeah. If the vendor hasn't taken the time to create quality graphics for the sales page, what shortcuts have they taken in the product creation?
Yeah.
And that's another thing, guys. Do not take shortcuts.
No.
And the other thing, just going back to what you said 5 minutes ago, which I got sidetracked and I meant to mention it at the time. You mentioned about, you know, selling the product, making money.
Yeah.
Forget that, guys. Forget about money. If your sole driving force is making money from your digital products, you're going to fail. Rather than that, focus on developing a quality product that solves a problem that there's an audience for. Do all that research, put 100% into the product creation, and it will sell. You will earn the money later on.
With the caveat being, obviously, make sure that you've done your market research first and there is an audience
for it. I mean, as we've already established during this conversation, James, that's, you know, that's
given.
Imperative. Yeah. It's a given. You've got to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. But
the other thing I would do is, you know, you've got to test the market, guys. Do samples of your product. Rather than spending a fortune on the full product, do a sample, you know, do a diluted version of it that you can, you know, set up a waiting list for, offer as a freebie, build content around, to start building your audience. Give it to them for free so you can start getting that feedback. James, how valuable is that feedback? We know from personal experience.
It's huge. It's huge because, I mean, like we could, I mean, obviously our project, we're kind of still kind of keeping it under our hat at the moment. But
yeah, we will discuss this in a future episode because we're very close to being able to do that, aren't we?
Yeah, very, very close. But again, we've actually given samples to our kind of private group. And they're blown away by it, you know, and that's great because anybody that sees it loves it. So let's get it to the marketplace soon and we'll see how that reflects. But I think
what we've also done, James, which is even more valuable to us, is they've given us some really good constructive feedback.
Yeah.
Which has allowed us to make a couple of tweaks to the product to take it from being good to being great.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you know, start building that audience, guys, you know, around create free content, or create content rather around that subject, around your product idea. You can either sort of, you know, get yourself on podcasts, run a small paid ad promotion to your sample via landing page, you know, get people on your email list, look at partnering with some influencers, which is all free to do, you know, offer free samples to their audience. There's lots of great stuff you can do before you actually go full all in and launch the product to test the market, James, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the thing is as well, if you don't have the certain skills, there is people that you can hire to do certain things for you. So don't feel that because you're not good at graphic design, you can't do it, or that holds you back. Just find a few extra dollars to get someone to do these things for you.
Yeah.
Don't let anything or anybody hold you back. If there's a way around about it, take that opportunity, you know. And if it means that you're going to have to partner with somebody saying, listen, I've got this great idea, I've got all this in place, but I need the sales page, I need the graphics, I need this. Can you do that? No. Would you like to partner with me and pay for that? And I will give you a percentage of the business. So yeah. Always a percentage of this product launch, yeah. You know. There's always a way around about it, guys. Don't ever feel that just because you're kind of better at the first hurdle, that's it, game over. Just say, right, okay, take a step back for that hurdle. Right, what other opportunities have I got? Who can I contact? Who do I know that's got money? Who do I know that's got skills? Who do I know that just knows people? You know, and before you know it, you're going to have the answers. It's not, don't, and another, again, this is a great way to word something. Don't ever say, who do you know that does this? Or more to the point, do you know anybody that does this? That's a closed question. No, everybody will always say no, but see, when you word it the way I said, who do you know that does this? It's like, that's not a yes or no question. That makes their brain work. It's like, actually, who do I know? I don't know. I think I don't know. I know Tony does this. I don't know if he does that, but I know he'll know somebody.
Yeah. And that's kind of ask open questions, James. Yeah,
open questions. Yeah, but kind of thought provoking ones that actually make them think. Yeah. You know,
just so the guys know. You've got open questions and closed questions. Closed questions are the ones that James was talking about, where
you
can only give a yes or no answer. Yeah, so guys, like I say, there's plenty of ways that you can build an audience up from a sample before you go all in, spending lots of money, doing a full launch. Test the market first. Once you've built that audience, you know, collect some feedback. It's really valuable. Incorporate that feedback and tweak your product to take it from good to great. Yeah,
absolutely.
And as James just said, there's nothing wrong with targeting and involving strategic launch partners. Reach out to people. There's no shame in doing that. Nobody's good at everything.
No,
definitely. I'm certainly not. James is certainly not. He's got a great skill set. I've got my own strengths, and together we complement each other.
Absolutely.
And that, there's no reason why that shouldn't be exactly the same for yourself. So don't be scared of reaching out to people. What you'll find with a lot of entrepreneurs is that they're more than happy to collaborate with the right people. I've certainly found that anyway, James. Have you?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, and again, if you have got any great ideas and you want to come and speak to me or Tony, you know, I love the opportunity to find other projects to be involved in, and not just from the monetary point of view, but to be involved to help a new great product get to market, and obviously have my name on it. I like to see my name on things. You know, I like to say I was involved in that. That wouldn't have got to market had I not done this. You know, it gives me a great buzz, and it's not always about the money. You know, make a little
James,
bit of money.
I'll put it out there now for our viewers and listeners. Guys, if you're, you know, fairly, you know, you don't even need to be new to the industry, but if you're somebody that's interested in creating digital products and you think you've got a really good idea, then reach out to me and James. We're more than happy to have a chat with you about it. You know, comment below the video. We'd love to hear your comments anyway. We'll certainly respond to any questions you may have about product creation or anything else. But yeah, if you think you've got a really good idea and you'd like to discuss it with us on a personal level, then reach out to us. You know, comment below the video, and we'll set something up.
Yeah, absolutely. As I say, I mean, all the technical side of things that you do, Tony, like setting up the obviously the JV through, like different sales platforms and sales copy and things. I mean, and don't, guys, if you are considering this, don't expect this product to be on the marketplace tomorrow or next week, because we don't want a fly by your seat of the pants type product that's not going to be great. All I would say to you is, if you're thinking about putting a product out there, if you were to hold that product up beside you to be like, I'm really proud of this, if you can't say that you're really proud of this product, then it's probably not the right product for you, or you need to go and do a bit more work on it.
Yeah. And as we've already established during this conversation and this episode, James, doing your market research is key.
Huge.
If you go on Amazon and you look at all the ebooks for sale on there that have sold two or three copies, who it's, you know, mum and dad bought it because the person that's wrote that book has not done any market research around the subject or the topic.
I'll hold my hand up to that. I've got a magic book up there, and I think I've sold about two copies.
Well, I didn't even know that. That's news to me.
Yeah.
No, I think absolutely. That proves what I'm saying. You know, you've got, doing your market research is a key part of the product creation process.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing, you know, thorough research, your product's going to fail, guys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that now.
I was going to say, Tony, you know, it's easy in this day and age, it's easier than ever to create products and get them out there, which is a major plus. But the major minus is other people are doing it as well. So the marketplace is absolutely fierce. So you've got to be doing it bigger and better than the other person, or you've got to have a unique spin on it. So make sure that that's there. And that's
absolutely. Yeah. You've got to be going over and above what your competitors are prepared to do.
Always.
And that means in the effort you put into your product creation, your marketing, your pricing, you know, everything. And again, we could, this episode could go on for hours, guys, if we tried to cover every aspect of this, yeah?
Yeah.
But really, you know, once you've launched that initial audience, then once you've got all that feedback and implemented it and took your product from good to great, you can expand then. Do a full launch, James, scale from there. You know, after the launch, you can use content marketing, you can use SEO, you can use paid ad campaigns to make your product evergreen so you can continue earning money from it. Yeah,
absolutely.
The one thing I really want to emphasize is do not cut corners, because it will come back to bite you in the backside.
Yeah, for sure.
Everybody can be in such a rush to get that product out. And we've been tempted recently, James, haven't we? And I've had to hold you back, to be fair.
You've had to hold me back because
I've got a few years on you. So I've got a bit of that extra maturity. And, you know, I think with our particular product, if you had your way, that would have been launched a month ago.
2 months ago.
2 months ago. Yeah. And that's not a criticism. That's just because you're passionate. And I get that.
I just know that once people get this in their hands, it's going to blow them away, and that's
But when we've chatted about this, and I've explained the reasons why we our time, you understand why I've, you know, advised that, yeah.
Tony, I'm looking at the watch now, and it's ticking down. We're getting closer.
Okay, right. So let's just wrap up here, guys. So ultimately, there's only four things you need really to sell products, isn't there? There's an audience. We've already established that. You can build that during your testing. The product itself, of course. Then you need a way to take payment, James. Yeah. And if you're using an affiliate platform, that's already taken care of. You just need to hook up your PayPal or your Stripe, etc. And you need a way to deliver the product. So because it's digital, that's easy. It can be an instant download or via a members area or whatever. So once you've done your launch, once you're doing your main launch, you've heard this before, James, launch fast, but imperfectly.
Yeah.
Or imperfectly, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah. Imperfect action.
Yeah. Get some initial sales, guys. You know, you're never going to get it perfect. You'll get it as good as it can be by getting that initial feedback and taking it from good to great. But trust me, you're going to get, after you've made some initial sales, you're still going to get other feedback that you didn't even dream of. And it'll be all useful, constructive feedback that you can make your product even greater then.
And have that right attitude as well, Tony. You know, and have the right attitude when you get constructive feedback. It's a blessing. It's a gift. Don't think, oh, this person's, what does this person know? You know, if that person is one person, okay, it's your opinion against theirs. But if two or three people come back with the same problem, then you've missed something in the product. And you should be taking every single, even if it is one person, you should be taking everybody's opinion on board and yep. seeing how you can look at that to make your product better. If it's possible, if it's financially viable, there's no reason why you shouldn't be doing it.
No. And I think all comments deserve the same respect, don't they?
Yes.
After all, they are all paying customers at that point.
Yes.
And, so they have a right to sort of give their opinion.
I know people say that the customer is always right, and some people totally disagree with that. But in my opinion, I feel that the customer is absolutely always right. Now, you might have a carnaptious, a grumpy old so-and-so that's just never happy. And if that's that type of person, and no matter what you do, you can't please them, then there's nothing you can do in that situation. However, if someone has genuinely bought a product with the best will in the world, and you have told them that it does this, this, and this, and it's not doing what you've promised, then you need to make that right. You've got to, because that person could be your customer on the next product or the next whatever, and your next product might be a monthly product.
You're not just looking at, you know, you're not looking at just acquiring that customer in that first instance. You're looking at them being a customer for years to come on your future products, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You may want to promote, you know, as you're building your list, you may want to promote other vendors' products to them as an affiliate and earn money, some money that way as well.
But
yeah, value everyone's opinions, guys. And you will come across people that are just really unreasonable. If you're not prepared to take all these different types of customer feedback, don't create a product, guys.
Yeah.
If you're really sensitive to that, I would say don't create a product. You've got to have a thick skin. You've got to appreciate that they're a paying customer and they're entitled to their opinion. And you will get people that are just totally unreasonable. But, you know, is that not the same for every company?
Every business, you know, I mean, it's the general public. You know, a lot of people say, I love working with the general public if it wasn't for the general public, you know, because as I say, you can't predict them.
Yeah. And just one thing I meant to touch on earlier, guys, just to finish off the show. We were talking about giving free samples away earlier, James.
Yeah.
Even the big companies do this, guys. Yeah. If you take Adidas or Adidas, depending on how you pronounce it, where you are in the world. For me, it's Adidas.
Me too.
They actually offer free products for testing.
Well, how do we get those, Tony?
If you search Adidas product testing, they'll actually send you samples of their clothing and footwear, James, if you qualify.
Right.
So that
I'm an athlete.
So then you can give them your feedback, you know, on their footwear, on their gym wear, etc., and you get to keep that merchandise.
Nice.
And not the only big company that do that. There's lots of them that do that.
Well, think about it when you go into a supermarket and you go up the middle aisle and there's somebody giving you food samples and things like that.
Yeah, great example. Yeah.
Everybody's looking to find out what you think. They might have the best idea in the world, the best marketing. They think they've got the best recipe. But until they get it into the mouths of the masses, then they don't know.
What they're doing there, as you know, it's obviously physical rather than digital, but they're testing the market, aren't they?
Of course they are, as we do online.
Yeah, so it's all relatable to what we've just had during this conversation and this episode. Absolutely. So, guys, the only other thing I'd say is if you've got any questions, feel free to drop them below the video. We're more than happy to respond. If you think you've got a great product idea yourself that you need some help with in getting it to market, then as we said earlier, drop the comment below the video and reach out to me and James.
Yeah, we would be delighted. We love to work on new projects. And let's be honest, Tony, I mean, there's only so many ideas in our heads that we can come up with, you know. So sometimes people come into this marketplace with fresh eyes and they see things that we don't see because we've been here for such a long time. And it's lovely to see that, you know, because sometimes it's like that's the aha moment. How come we never thought of that? Because we're so in the zone. Yeah, we never, you know.
And let's be honest, James, I mean, not every product idea is a great idea.
And
For every 100 you get, you might get one golden nugget, and the rest are just not viable. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, and don't feel that you need to kind of, if we decide that it's not for us, then don't think that it's not possible. It just might not be a good fit for us. But we'll definitely give you, even if you come to us and it's not for us, we'll definitely give you some constructive criticism, how we can help. We think you can change or adapt it. So don't feel as if you're sitting on the fence, like, oh, it's not good enough. We want to know, and we're happy to help you, yeah. Because our viewers and listeners are absolutely the world to us. But it doesn't mean that we can always work with everybody, because we've only got so much time in the day as well, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, even if we can't get involved on a JV basis, James, as you just said, we're more than happy to give somebody the right guidance and point them in the right direction, give them some free advice, yeah?
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Well, Tony, anything else before we go? It's been a good session today.
That's it. It's, like I say, it's just an
overview.
overview of the product creation process and the key things you should be looking for and looking to do. If we wanted to go through the whole process, this is at least a week's video training course, isn't it?
I think that could be a course for a few hundred dollars. I think that might be one of your next products, actually, having to do that, because it is so intense, you know. So, yeah.
Well, I've got a friend of mine who actually sells a product creation blueprint product.
Uh-huh.
I won't mention him on here because we're not obviously trying to market anything. No. But he sells that course, James, for $9.97.
Yeah. And it would be worth every penny, if I'm being honest, because...
Oh, yeah, no, it would be. If you're a total newbie to product creation and you want to understand the full process, but I'm mentioning that because I'm highlighting that we're never going to be able to fit the full process into a one-hour show.
So we'll give you the best
overview we can during this episode, guys. Yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
Any questions, ask them below the video. We're more than happy to respond, yeah.
Absolutely. So once again, guys, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate your support. So please like and subscribe, hit the bell notification on the YouTube channel. Please share the podcast with your friends, rate the podcast. We really want to grow this and obviously give you as much value as we possibly can. So on behalf of myself, on behalf of Tony, thank you so, so much for watching and listening to another episode of Those Two IM Guys. See you later, guys. Bye.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining Those Two IM Guys today. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to tune in next time for more interesting subjects, hints and tips on running your internet marketing business.